Blog Talk Radio. Hello, 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 and welcome to another awesome episode of Real Life Radio. I'm your host, Jerry Turand. I am here with my beautiful, amazing, and inspiring co-host, Desiree Michelle. Hey, Des, how's it going?
Hi, I'm doing great. I'm so excited to be here.
Awesome. Well, you're sounding a little garbled. Hopefully
oh,
that
no.
will continue. It'll be fine.
Is it better?
I'll let you know if it continues, but...
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all good. So, excited about today's show, and we're going to be talking about boundaries.
Yes.
Big one. Another topic that it goes perfectly with our feeling like we're not enough topic and how to really embrace our enoughness and that we really are and have everything that we need. And now, yeah, setting and recognizing our boundaries and learning to honor ourselves and notice when people cross our boundaries and all of those missed opportunities when fear sets in or when we say yes when we mean no. I mean, I have so many personal stories that I could share about this one, and I'm sure that you do too. I want to help people to you know, really recognize and honor themselves, recognize where those boundaries are, why they're there, is it serving them? Maybe there's some that need to be let go of a little, and I've definitely missed some opportunities in my life because of fear. I had some awesome opportunities, and I just, you know, that whole not good enough set in, and I've said yes a whole lot of times, making everyone else more important than myself and making sure that everyone else was feeling good was like a huge mission of mine as an energetic being. I could feel when they were sad or when something was off, and I made it my mission to make them feel better. It was like my job, and I couldn't feel good until they felt good. And so, I mean, so many times I betrayed myself without even knowing that. Like, there was just no line. It wasn't clear, especially when I was young. I just didn't feel good, but I didn't realize a lot of it was actually outside of me. And so I had to be this peacemaker, and as long as everyone else felt good, then finally I came last, and then I could start to feel okay. So I don't know if you can relate to that, but big topic. And I think
a lot of our listeners can probably relate to that. Culturally, I think we're raised that way in particular, you know, like you put everyone first, you know, it's better to give than to receive. And certainly as women, you know, you should give to your children and give to your husband and give to your community. And, you know, if you're a member of it, give to your church. And, you know, if there's any scraps left over, then I guess you can have those. But really, you should just be feeling so filled from all this giving that should really be what fills your tanks. And when it doesn't, you know, I was like, man, like, I must be really selfish or really broken or something, because, like, all this service isn't making me feel good. And I think a lot of it has to do with, again, the boundaries. Like, why am I doing it? Am I doing it because I should? Or am I doing it because I'm like, oh, I authentically want to offer this gift? Or am I doing it because I'm uncomfortable with the emotional milieu, like you said, and I'm trying to fix it, right? Mm-hmm. Because even with that, that's still moving from a should or from a place of fear, right? Like, I'm uncomfortable with the emotional feel in this room or from this person, so I'm gonna move to, really is what it boils down to, right? But I can play the mind game of, oh, well, I'm trying to make them feel better. It's about them feeling better. But really, if I, you know, depending on, again, my motivation, if I get really, and that's, you know, getting really clear with myself about my motivations, you know, sometimes it's like literally, I don't actually, like, I hope they feel better, but it's really more so that they stop making me feel uncomfortable because they're unhappy. Because
right.
I'm like you, I totally feel that energetic, you know, aura or energy or the space in the room. And I'm very uncomfortable with other people's discomfort. And really, that's just me being uncomfortable with my own discomfort. So some of my journeying lately has been
exactly about,
yeah, holding that space and honoring my boundary and not trying to push into theirs to fix them so I feel better, right? So, yeah, it's interesting stuff, hey?
Oh, my God, yeah. And I think you hit on some really key points there, that it's really about being uncomfortable with your own feelings and emotions. Like, we're not raised to connect with that part of ourselves. And so there's this little child in us still as adults whose needs weren't met. They didn't, you know, the scared child wasn't met with the loving attention that it needed, and the one that felt like she was never good enough or not important. Instead, it kind of, you know, got pushed away. Well, it's not okay to feel that way. Stop your crying or I'll give you something to cry about. And so really,
oh my gosh,
these, those messages, right, from our childhood, it wasn't okay to be angry. You know, like, I know in my household anyway, it was only my father that was allowed to be angry, and it was a house full of women and then my dad. And any of us got mad, well, it was misconstrued as, well, that we were being rude or talking back. And how dare you, right? Stand up for yourself or express anger in any way. And sadness, well, as long as we were in our room and nobody saw it, you know, I cried myself to sleep many nights. So now it becomes our job to reparent ourselves and to honor those aspects of ourselves. And now we have these, and we have these invisible boundaries, these boundaries that we don't even know we have a lot of the time. And they're not necessarily serving us. And then we allow people to walk all over because that's what we were trained to do, to not trust ourselves, not honor what we're feeling and push through it, push. And what should we be doing so that we're accepted and so that we're loved? Like, that's what we're trained to do, is just all of those shoulds. Well, who do I need to be loved in this moment? What do I need to say? What do I need to do so that people love me, so that they like me, so that I get some attention? So now, can you give the attention to the hurting one, the child in pain? And I mean, this has actually been, I've been camping for the last, I don't know, since Friday, I guess, and I just got back last night, and I used the time to really practice loving all those aspects of myself. And so this topic goes perfectly. I've been reading this book, Matt Kahn, K-A-H-N, and the title is Whatever Arises, Love That. And so I've just been noticing everything, all of my emotions in particular, all of my reactions, all of my triggers, because spending time with family, this is a family camping trip with my mom and my sister and my kids and my ex-husband. And so very interesting and a great opportunity to love whatever arises. Let me tell you, there's a lot of little triggers and stuff that arose that gave me a lot of opportunity to love that part of me that feels like I'm not being seen and heard, that little child. So then I all of those feelings that I felt, you know, or when I felt attacked, I felt like, okay, they're just not seeing me. They're not seeing who I am today. They still see this shy little Jerry that, you know, and then I'd feel like I'm not being honored. I'm not being seen. I'm not being heard. And I thought, okay, so what's arising here? And can I love that? Can I love that little child that feels, you know, because the very first time that I felt that way, like I wasn't seen, like I wasn't heard, is linked to the, whatever you're getting triggered with now, whatever emotions are coming up now, it's such an incredible opportunity, because there's this invisible thread that links every mm-hmm. single time you ever felt that, like that, like you weren't good enough, like you weren't being seen or heard, like maybe you weren't worthy or important of being seen or heard. So when they didn't see or hear you, somehow to a very young child, that must mean that, well, I guess I'm not important. I guess I'm not worthy of them, of, you know, them listening. And so I just went back to that child, right? I just saw every emotion as a child in pain, and just said, you know, it's okay, sweetie. You are worthy. And I started to just reprogram those imprints. And, you know, and that opens the heart. And then you yes. can't help but start to honor yourself and honor your boundaries and recognize when people are crossing them and, okay, so what is this? But it's been, yeah, really incredible to just practice loving everything that arises. And honestly, when you say you're going to do that, when you set your intention to do something like that, okay, everything that arises, I'm going to just say I love you to it. I love you as if it's a child in pain. And so much, so many opportunities, so many things, like one of my best friends. So I was like practicing, telling myself all those things I long to hear from another, recognizing it's not their job. That's allowing yourself to stay victim, right? When you're looking for someone yeah. else to fill yeah. those needs and validate you. And so I'm like, okay, what do I really need to hear that could help me heal? What do I wish my parents had said to me, ex-boyfriends, and what are those words that would help me heal? And recognizing it's my job to say them to myself. And once I can say them to myself and receive them, I can actually start to receive more love and honor myself more and my boundaries more. And so I sort of came up with a list of different things that I long to hear, and just, you know, you are important, you're good enough, you're perfect just the way you are, you're so gifted and talented, things like that. Mm. And I love and honor, like I love having you in my life. I value you and honor and feel so privileged to have you in my life. And then I started thinking, okay, so who might need to hear that? And I reached out to a friend of mine that I figured, okay, could use, you know, just a little pick me up, like just saying, you know, you're super important to me and I feel so blessed to have you in my life. And so I sent a text right. to this person telling them I feel really blessed to have them in my life, because this person has definitely been a powerful healer for me, bringing up a lot of my childhood stuff. And it was interesting because the text I got back was, yeah, go fuck yourself. I'm like, oh my God.
Okay.
And my heart, like this little child, right? So I put my heart out there. What, you know, a person that needs this, like I need this. And whoa. So yeah, great opportunity to stop and breathe into that feeling and love that little girl that felt like she was just stomped on or rejected.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, oh, okay, this is what's arising. Whew, I gotta love this, right? I mean, recognizing that that's just, you know, this person's child in pain too and can't receive that mm-hmm. kind of love. Right? When you can't receive yeah. it from yourself, it's very hard to receive it from someone else. So it's like his painful child and then my painful child got triggered, right? So I'm like, I just noticed the pain and I noticed it was resting in my heart. And I just, you know, breathed into the center of it and said, it's okay, sweetie, I love you. And so I showed up for this little child that was hurting and that felt rejected and like she wasn't important. And, you know, it was really beautiful.
So I love that. And I love that it wasn't that you were, because yeah. so when you first told me I'm reading this book about love everything that arises or whatever, honestly, Jerry, the first thing that came to mind is I don't want to, because it's like, I don't necessarily love being abused. So why should I love that when it shows up in my life? Right. But as yes. you're talking, I'm like, okay, it's not love the situation and allow it, like, oh, that's lovely, just keep beating me. I mean, that's not.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
It's not surrendering. It's allowing you that emotional response that you're having and to be present for it and to love yourself as you are in that moment, like having that. And then from there, I guess you would know what kind of right action to take. But now I understand the value, because you know what I'm saying though, right? Like at first I'm like, really? Like we're going to talk about boundaries.
Holy,
and
talk
you want
about
to say,
crossing
just love everything.
Love it all. Yes. Love the abuse. Love the abuser. Love the...
yeah.
No, it's love the little one. Love your heart, really, because the heart to me is the inner child.
Yeah.
And so whatever needs weren't met in your childhood, it's now your job to meet those needs. And if you are in an abusive situation, there is a big opportunity there to heal yourself. Because what attracted that into your reality? Mm-hmm. Like, and when you heal that part of you, then it you love yourself enough that you won't put up with it, that the boundaries become easy to see. You know, mm-hmm. we only stay in those kinds of situations when we're beating on ourselves a little more than we're being beaten on. And as soon as we love ourselves a little more than they love us, or then, you know, we abuse ourselves less than what we're being abused, we'll leave.
Yeah.
And so that's what this does, right? When you
true.
Love what is.
Absolutely. Well, because I
us?
Found myself. What's that?
I said, you have a story for us?
Do I have a story? Well, I'm again, it's funny because I'm being more cautious about dropping names and stuff on the radio, whereas before I was pretty blasé about it. But I definitely found myself in many a situation or relationship that very rarely would be physically abusive, but would be very emotionally and verbally abusive. And interestingly, to be very candid, I, in my teens, started to hurt myself when I would get really stressed out. Like I'd actually like whack my head against the wall, or I'd like squeeze my hand until my nails dug in, you know, and I bled in the palm of my hands, and or pinch, you know, until right. same thing, I broke the skin. And it was a way for me, because I was so, like now I can look back and say I was so consumed with self-loathing, like so much shame and hate for myself that I needed to be punished. Like that was really, and it was this release. Like I think I've never been a cutter, but I assume it's probably a similar kind of, like there's a release I'm told that comes from, right? So there's this tension of this overwhelming sense of horror at your own self. And so I kept attracting friendships and intimate relationships that, well, wouldn't visit. So, you know, when you said like, if they're abusing you, if you're abusing yourself more, then you'll stay in them. So, and I did, I would
right.
abuse myself more than they would abuse me, because I would actually abuse myself physically as well as beat myself up emotionally, like verbally in my head all the time, and tell myself I was wrong for feeling what I was feeling. Like I'd get mad and be like, well, you shouldn't be mad. Look at all the things that they're doing or that are good for you. Or, well, you know, you should just suck it up, because don't, you know, otherwise you're a pain in the ass. Because one of my major things was, especially for men, was be easy, like be low maintenance, be easy, be accommodating. Don't call them out when they're rude or misogynistic or degrading, like just laugh it off. Don't be one of those stuck up bitches that insist on, you know, that you treat them with respect. I mean, really, that's what it boiled down to.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that laugh
that
it off.
That insists on respect. Yeah, laugh
right,
it off.
Right. Oh, my whole family, everyone just laughed it off.
oh, that's so funny.
They totally pushed past your boundary. Oh, my God. Yeah.
But then,
and I remember being sickened by that, witnessing it, and then doing it myself.
Yeah. Totally. Totally. And during my healing, I started to see what I was doing, and I still do it. I had to catch myself the other day, right? But
oh my
it's
God.
Much less.
Yep,
and
me
as
too.
A result of that healing, I did start to get out of those relationships, and I did start to, you know, call them out on their crap. And before I did the calling out, I would just leave. Like, but so it was like this baby step of first I would participate, for God's sake. I would get in there and participate on it, right? I'd beat myself up alongside them verbally, or other, you know, they'd mock kindness, or they'd mock compassion, or they'd mock vulnerability, and I'd get in there with them. Then I started to just be silent. Then I started to leave the room, and now I start to call people out on it. But it's been a 10-year process, like, you know what I mean? And but it's as I stopped beating myself up, as I raised my own level of respecting my own boundaries and noticing that feeling of, oh, like I get it in my gut when somebody says something that's like gross, you know, that's like hurtful or bullying or, yeah. And I get, you know, I used to be like, oh, well, yeah, I know it's just their own inner child that's sad. And so, and I would use that to just overlook it. You know, oh, I'll just make excuses
for them. Justify them, excuses for them.
Yeah, justified. It's not their
fault.
I'm
the queen
of
that.
Came from... Yeah, well, me too, so I get it, right? But then it was like, no, like, just because, it's like, it's no different than just because somebody was abused as a kid and they abused their kids, well, is that okay? Do we just say, oh, that's all right, you know, little Johnny's dad, his dad used to beat him and his dad would beat him, so it's cool that he beats up little Johnny. Like, no, right? That's, culturally, it's not okay. So why do we do that for other things that are just another form of beating mm-hmm. up, right? And really, it does become the greater gift to call them out on it and be like, you know, I think you might have some work there because that's pretty violent or that's pretty angry or, you know, I really feel like you're trying to hurt me, right? Like,
like
and
what's
I get
going
that
on in your life
yeah,
that you'd
what's
be
going
acting
on
that way? Like, what the heck?
Mm-hmm. So it's okay to have compassion for them without also swallowing it. But so to come back to that whole mm-hmm. circle thing, the more that I loved myself and the less that I beat myself up and then actually started moving into supporting myself with kind words, the more and more I attracted people that were of like mind, you know, that would also be kind to me and treat me with kindness and respect. So it is really, it's interesting. And I don't want people to think, oh, you're blaming the victim, you know, like that lady who's getting abused in her marriage, she's attracting, it's her fault she keeps attracting that. Like,
No.
That's not what, you know, what I'm trying to say, but at the same time, she still has to be a participant in rescuing herself, right? So
absolutely.
When people...
That's the shift from victimhood to empowerment, is recognizing, you know, I need to give myself what I'm longing for this person to give and why I keep staying and hoping that they're going to give me something or say something to me that they're not even capable of saying or giving, like quite mm-hmm. frankly. It becomes your job and that does heal you and that does shift things and that does end the pattern.
It does. It absolutely does. Because like, my first marriage had a lot of good in it, but it had a lot of learning too, a lot of challenges. And one of the things that I realized was I totally duplicated the relationship that I'd had with my dad, which... It was like a gambling addiction. Like maybe this, I'll pull on the arm, you know, like on the slot machine, I'll pull it. And maybe this time I'll get those lucky sevens and he'll love me. You know, maybe this time I'll get that approval. So like that inner, maybe if I give up a little more of what matters to me, then I'll finally win him over. You know, I'll be good enough to receive that approval. And it's so interesting because I have a much better friendship with my ex now and it's a whole lot healthier. And I think we co-parent a whole lot better now than we ever did when we were married. And a lot of that had to do with me coming to my own rescue. You know, whatever growth that he does or doesn't do, I'm not as tied to it because I have decided that my own worth is based on my own worth and not his.
Well, and that does heal them.
You know? It does.
Yeah. I mean, the best way to fix and help is actually to help yourself. There is no separation. And mm-hmm. the thing is, it's so unfamiliar. Like love and self-love is categorized into the unfamiliar, right? And not, there's the two categories of the subconscious mind, like either it's something that's familiar or it's foreign. And self-love is very foreign to people. They don't even know what it looks like, sounds like, feels like. And so the more of us that can actually start to show up for ourselves and love ourselves and love everything that arises, the more we're showing people the way and it starts to become more familiar. And won't that be a beautiful world when love mm-hmm. and self-love becomes familiar and the norm? Yeah, exactly. And when somebody says, I love you, you can say thank you and receive it rather than, okay, what do they want? How could they possibly love me? You know,
yeah,
but
what
that's,
are they
and
after?
That's just their...
Yeah.
Yeah, so you have to feel suspicious of love and when someone gives you love and says those kind words when you don't feel worthy and when you're carrying all the shame and guilt around. So we need to start forgiving ourselves and loving that little, in treating our heart, not like there's something wrong with it, like you shouldn't feel this way. because that's kind of the default. That's the imprint, right? That's
yeah.
the way it was treated
yeah.
when we were young. But now it's like, no. Now we're the enlightened parent. We get to play the enlightened parent that we didn't have. And we get to treat it. We get to give it the loving attention that it needs. It's just a cry for love. All of these things are a cry for love. And it becomes so easy to love people and not to take their shit personally, but just to say, wow, they're really hurting. And so, yeah, I have compassion, but like you said, you can have compassion and not put up with that.
Yeah.
You know, have those boundaries that just say, yeah, no, okay, yeah, work through your stuff, whatever, you send them love, whatever it takes energetically, but yeah. So I think we did promise people kind of a process, didn't we?
We did. Yeah,
so
do we have time?
Kind of a way to do this before we... Yeah, well, we have 4 minutes. So what I've been using that I think would be helpful for people, just that whatever arises, love that, is really... So whatever's come up for you, maybe even in this conversation, to just kind of to acknowledge that, you know, to acknowledge... Mm-hmm. Whatever might be coming up for you, that child or that part of you that is unable to love themselves or unable to love whatever arises, like you said, and to have compassion for that part of you, that no, I can't forgive. I can't forgive this person, to reassure that part of you that can't forgive, that's having difficulty loving, that doesn't really even know what this means, that never quite feels good enough. And so whatever your theme might be, just to acknowledge that and then to notice, just take a few long, slow, deep breaths. And so really what you want to do is you want to slow your breathing so you get out of that fight, flight, or freeze. You know, when we get triggered, mm-hmm. we tend to kind of get hijacked at the same time, and then we want to fight back instead of just, you know, stop and rest. And then you want to identify what part of your body that emotion, that triggered or that feeling resides in. So to just kind of close your eyes and just notice that emotion, that pattern that you have, and where it might be sitting in your body, where you're feeling it most. The tension, the constriction, maybe even physical pain. And then just put your hand on that place, on your body.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just want you to breathe into the center of that feeling. And if you can't locate the feeling, then the place to always go is to the heart. And to just put your hand over your heart, breathe into the center of the heart, the child that's crying out for your loving attention. Because really you're the only one that can heal this little child. And then as you breathe into it, to just send it, to say to it, I love you. And the suggestion is to do this for 2-minute intervals. So whenever you feel triggered, whenever you have an emotional reaction to something, to locate it in your body, slow your breathing, breathe into the center of it and say over and over, I love you with all your heart, all your sincerity as the enlightened parent, giving it the loving attention it never got. And without the need to analyze, to go back to the original incident, that heals it. All by itself. I love you. It's okay. I'm here now. And if it feels a little awkward or inauthentic or unfamiliar, that's only because it's still categorized in that category. The more you do this, the more this becomes the norm, and the more you'll be able to receive and give love openly. So, yeah. I love you.
Thank you so much.
For your insights today. And, yeah, good conversation. And I think we may need to continue our boundaries conversation next week. So
sounds
tune
good.
In same time next week. Follow us on Real Life Radio on Facebook, or you can email us, reallifradio@gmail.com.
1L.
Thanks, Deb. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks,
Jerry. Have a great day.
Bye now.
Bye.